Welcome to the Speaker's Practice and our Friday Forum. I'm Adrienne McLean, the founder of the Speaker's Practice. I'd like to welcome Rick Wilmot from Executive Wisdom. Hi, Rick.
Good morning, Adrienne. Thanks for having me.
The Friday Forum is for business people. This is a free 30-minute session where you will meet amazing business people who have experience in a wide variety of topics. You will hear fabulous approaches from experts in their field. Today we are honoured to have Rick Wilmot with us. Rick is a highly successful business coach. Rick trains business people all around the world in business principles, in marketing, and in every aspect of running a successful business. Today Rick is speaking on an essential part of marketing a business: asking for referrals from current people we know and reaching out to people who we may not know but would like to, as they would be interested in the business we are offering. So thanks, Rick. This is such an important topic.
Adrian, it's interesting. I mean, like, being in business and not asking for referrals is much like winking at a girl in the dark. Nobody knows what you're doing but you. The bottom line is that unless you are asking for referrals, unless you're building your brand and your repute, you're not going to get a lot of word of mouth. The other thing is too that, especially for people who are not natural born salespeople in their approach, referrals is a very comfortable way for us to build our business, to build our professional practices. So, I mean, like, your first question is, why is this an essential marketing tool? Well, it's not. It's only essential if you want to be successful and continue in business. Because there's going to be a period of time. What happens is that we all start out in business and we get that honeymoon period where all of our friends and colleagues and centers of influence who know us, people who we've worked with in the past, people who we went to university or school with, friends and family, they all automatically give us referrals. And so what happens is, when we start in business, the referrals came without us implementing a pragmatic process to attract and acquire the referrals. And so we've been lured into this false sense of security that the referrals will always be there. But of course, they usually very quickly plateau out. And because we've never implemented a pragmatic process that proactively sought to get referrals, they dry up. And then we become desperate for business. Business is not as good as what we'd hoped it was. And when you're under pressure, you never do things as well as what you do when you're comfortable. So it's essential, if you want to be successful, if you want that success to be long-lived, and if you're not a natural-born salesperson, it is essential under those circumstances.
So do we ask for referrals from our current clients? We ring them up ask?
Yeah, you can ask for referrals, Adrian. You can ask for referrals from anybody. Whether you're successful in receiving referrals or not is how much research and how much effort you put into doing it intelligently. Let me give you an example. If I was to call you up, Adrian, and say, who do you know who could use me as a business coach? Or who do you know who'd like to engage me as a speaker? Or who do you know that needs an organizational development consultant with a psychological background? With all the best intentions of you wanting to help me, that's too broad a question for me to ask you, because you know so many people, but you also don't know exactly what they might need today. And so even though you might want to help me, by me saying, who do you know, and leaving it broad like that, I've made it incredibly difficult for you to help me. And this is where most people get referrals wrong. It is our responsibility to take the ownership to understand who our clients know, who our centers of influence know, who our colleagues know, that we would like to get to know, and ask for a specific referral to that specific person. That is the best referral of all. So if during coffee one day, when we've been together, or while we've been engaged professionally together, you mentioned to me that you happen to know the partner of a law firm, or you happen to know an executive in a mining company, and I believe that that person might be a good person, that, that we might have some mutual benefit to do business with each other, then at the right time in the right way, I say to you, Adrian, by the way, you happen to know John Gunther. You mentioned to me that, that you knew him from ABC Law Firm. I'm wondering, if the situation was right, would you feel comfortable in introducing me to him? Mm-hmm. And of course, with that sort of approach, your answer more than likely, I'm hoping, given that we know each other and I'm hoping that you like, trust and respect me, is that you'll say yes. And so then what I do is I look for a way to make it easy for you to make that introduction. Oh. Or alternatively, I might say something like, the next time you're speaking with John, I'm wondering if you could mention me to him and ask permission for you to be able to pass his details on to me for me to give him a call. Mm-hmm. Now, once again, you'll notice in the language of the way I've phrased that, I'm still taking responsibility. I'm not asking you to get him to call me. Mm-hmm. I've asked that you mention my name to him and ask his permission for me to give him a call. It is our responsibility to always put in place the next steps to make this happen. Because if you're asking other people to do your work for you, number one, that's lazy. Mm-hmm. And number two, you're going to become a prisoner of hope. Mm-hmm. And that is that you're always hoping that these people might contact you. And I'd imagine that John Gunther, who's the partner of ABC Law Firm, is probably a really busy guy. Mm-hmm. And so with all the best intentions of him calling me, he won't. It's my job to call him. Yes. And if we start approaching this in a business-like way, where we show respect for everyone involved, for you as the referrer, for me as the person asking for the referral, and for the and for your client being the referee, then if we take responsibility, it happens much more smoothly. It happens in a processed manner where you're in control and you can ensure greater success of getting to meet that person.
In this instance, you're speaking about actually asking for a specific person. Would you ask for a referral for people that, if you have a product that you're wanting to promote, do you ask people if they know anyone who would like that product, or is that back to front?
My personal opinion is that once again is fallowed. Right. Because, you know, if I've got a can of Coke to sell and I mm-hmm. say to you, Adrian, who do you know who'd like to buy a can of Coke? Yeah. Well, you might know lots of people who at some stage or another might like a can of Coke, but if they're not thirsty and they've just had a big liter bottle of Pepsi, they're not going to want a can of Coke.
Yes.
So I think, once again, that's a fallowed approach.
Right.
More importantly is for, if I've got a can of Coke and I'm wanting to market, promote and make sales of that can of Coke, and I think that you're someone who could possibly refer me to people, what I then do is I find out, well, who do you know? Who's in your sphere of influence?
Uh-huh.
And it may well be that you happen to know the owner of a restaurant.
Yes.
And that I know that that's a BYO restaurant. And so at the right time in the right way, I might say to you, Adrian, you happen to know Cora, who owns the Thai restaurant. And you'll reply, yes, I do, Rick. Look, I don't know if Cora's got any arrangements in place, but I'm wondering if you might be able to introduce me, either by telephone or email or personally, to Cora, that I might talk to her about her stocking Coke in her fridges in her BYO restaurant.
Mm.
See, it's our job to make it easy for the people to give us the referral. So even a commoditized product like a can of Coke that you'd think is, well, that's an easy sale.
Yes.
But when you get into the psychology of it, you're busy, your
yes.
clients are busy. So with the best intent, you're not going to know specifically who wants a can of Coke right at that specific point in time.
No.
It's our job to take control of the conversation.
Okay.
And I think this is why most people get referrals wrong, which is why these networking clubs and these referral clubs, for most people, they just don't work. Because once again, you're wanting someone else to do the work for you. And I think that's just lazy.
Yes. Well, this works into our second question about asking for the referral. And it can be a bit awkward So your process is actually making it easier to ask for the referrals.
That's right. I mean, the referral whirlpool, I've created the whirlpool construct around marketing and promoting a business. And the part of the whirlpool that's around referrals, the referral whirlpool, is that you have to put in place the processes to educate your centers of influence, clients, peers and colleagues that you're going to ask for referrals in the future. Educating them into the type of people that you'd like to be referred to, and then asking for those referrals. And finally, the fourth step is to come back again and ask for referrals on a quarterly or half yearly basis.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to start by, first of all, whenever you start with a new client, is to say to them, Adrian, it's wonderful that we're working together, and as you know, you and I were introduced to each other by a referral. Referrals are the coinage of my realm, and it's how I do business. When the timing is right and when it's appropriate, I'll be asking you if there's people that you might be able to refer me to who could gain benefit from my value also.
Yeah.
Will that be okay with you?
Yeah.
And so you're asking permission, but if Adrian, you've just engaged me to help you professionally, means you must like, trust and respect me enough to invest in me, mm-hmm. and so therefore I'm pretty certain that you're going to say yes.
Yeah.
And so you've educated the client that in the future I'm going to ask you for referrals.
Mm-hmm.
Then what you do is in the next short while, during a conversation, you'll mention, as I mentioned to you when we started working together, Adrian, referrals are the way I do business, and in fact it's how you and I were introduced. And as I said to you, when the timing's right, I'll be asking you if there's possibly some referrals you can give me. The sort of people that get best value from being involved with me are, and you list out two or three criteria of the sort of people who get the best value from engaging your professional services, and you mention that to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so you say, although it's the time is not right now for me to ask for those referrals, I thought I'd mention the type of people who get the best value from me so that you can keep it in the back of your mind for when we do ask.
Yeah.
So when we initially started working together, I told you that I'll be asking for it in the future. We've been working together through the project, and it may only be a matter of days when you then mention again and you outline the sort of people that you like to be referred to.
Yes.
And then the third step will be, if you haven't been able to identify a specific person, to ask for a referral to a specific company or to a specific industry group.
Yes.
So although in my initial example I gave you, I was saying that you should ask for the referral to a specific person, and that is the premium, that is the ultimate way to get a referral. Yes. So if you want to call that the A-class referral. The B-class referral is where you may not know the specific person you want to be introduced to, but you have to be clear about the specific company or the specific industry that you'd like to be referred into.
Yes.
So you can see that process is a much, much easier process. Now, there might be a few people listening to this, a few of your followers and clients are listening to this, Adrian, and they're saying, gee, this sounds like a lot of work. Well, I would propose to anyone listening to this, A, are you getting more referrals than you can handle right now? B, would you like more referrals? And see, what is the quality of the referrals like that you're getting? Are you converting nearly all of them, or if not at least 80% of them, into clients?
Mm.
And if you're not, then this process, I think, you should at least give it a try.
Mm. Well, it sounds like a really clear process, something that we can work on step by step with our clients. So.
Well, that's right. And the other thing is, this is... by no means do you ever feel like a used car salesman with this approach. It's
yes.
It's pragmatic, it's professional, it's mm. respectful,
mm.
and you are not trying to rush somebody into doing something in an instant. You're giving them time to allow your request for a referral to percolate in their mind so that they can consider who are going to be the best people that they know to introduce you to.
Mm.
And I'd ask, the next question I'd ask anyone who's feeling a little bit unsure about this, have you recommended your dentist to somebody? Have you recommended your accountant to somebody? Have you recommended your lawyer to somebody? And I guarantee that every single person listening to this at some stage has recommended their dentist, their doctor, their lawyer, their groundskeeper, you know, whoever it is, their carpenter. So we refer other people. It's highly appropriate that we ask people to refer us.
Yes.
So I mean, look, how many times have you been sitting in the dentist chair and mentioned to your dentist some new project that you're working on or some new event that you're doing, so that the dentist who knows you intimately has been inside your mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, like, dentists talk to their clients, doctors talk to their clients, and yet very few people ask their own dentist and doctors to keep their eyes and ears open for potential referrals.
Referrals, yeah. Well, they certainly meet a lot, so it would be a good avenue to ask for referrals.
Well, I think the big thing is letting people know what you do.
Yes.
And the bottom line is we're all professionals. We all do an excellent job. And it's not selling if you're offering sensational value. And I'd imagine all of your followers and listeners on the line are professionals who offer great value in their industry, in their career.
Yeah.
And so it's only appropriate that they should ask for referrals.
Yes.
It's not selling if you're good.
No. So we move on to the next question, which is taking it a bit further and reaching out to new clients or people that we really don't know. How do we find this is like opening new business area up. How do we identify who these potential clients could be?
Okay, so I'm assuming your question here is about moving into greenfield markets, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so moving into greenfield areas, you've decided, let's draw an analogy. You've decided that you've been working specifically with FMCG, fast-moving consumer goods as an industry, and you're thinking that you now might like to expand that into going into restaurants as well. So besides the retailers and the supermarkets, you're now wanting to expand your business into the restaurant dining businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Then what you do is you identify, okay, what are the key characteristics about this demographic that attracts me, that I can offer them sensational value. So what are the characteristics of the type of client in this greenfield area that makes them attractive to me and makes me attractive to them?
Mm-hmm.
And you identify a minimum of five plus or minus two key characteristics. So somewhere between three and seven, five plus or minus two,
mm-hmm.
key characteristics. From that, you're able to build a bit of a profile of what that person or that business looks like. From there, you then start doing some research of who are those types of businesses and start to list them by name if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go back to your existing clients, your A-class clients who know, like, trust and respect you, and try to identify where is there a 70% likelihood or more that these clients might know these people in the greenfield market or would know someone who knows these people in the greenfield market.
Right.
Then make a list of those people.
Mm-hmm.
Then what you need to do is be very clear about what your value proposition is and identify one clear value proposition and then go to them and say something like, Adrian, as you know, we've been doing business for a number of years and it's been wonderful working with you. Obviously, any good business that's going to continue to thrive, not at least survive, but actually thrive in these current economic conditions, we need to reach out and grow our business. And of course, you want me to stay around to keep helping you for many years to come. One of the areas I'm looking at moving into is doing work with the restaurant markets. Now, I'm wondering, I've identified three restaurants in your area that I thought you may possibly know. Do you know any of these? And ask the question, do they know it? If you then said to me, well, actually, I don't know any of them personally, but I actually think I know someone who knows that one, then here's where we take responsibility again. And we say something like, Adrian, thank you. That would be wonderful if I could get to speak with that person to see if they know restaurant XYZ. Now, I know that you're very busy, Adrian, so I'm wondering, would you at least be able to drop a quick email or a telephone call to that person and let them know that I'll be calling to ask if they might be able to introduce me to them? Because I don't expect you to do my job for me. Would that be okay with you? Mm. And once again, you see my language, I'm finishing with, will that be okay with you? Because if you're not comfortable with that, I don't want to ask you to do it.
No.
But I'm hoping, because we have such a good relationship and you use me on a regular basis, that you will be happy to introduce me.
Right.
This allows me then to contact that person and say, hello, Fred, I've been working with Adrian for a number of years. She engages me to help her professionally. And one of the things that I'm looking to do is to start working with restaurants as well, besides just FMCG. And Adrian suggested that you're a person who might know a few of the restaurants that I'd like to get to know myself too. I'm wondering if you have the time for me to be able to buy you a really good cup of coffee, and if I could take no more than 12 minutes of your time to briefly outline three restaurants that I was looking to meet and allow you to meet me so that you might consider introducing me to them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once again, people might be listening to this going, wow, that's a lot of work. Why wouldn't you just ask for the referral? Well, because that person doesn't know me. That person knows you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as a matter of respect, mm-hmm. that person should at least get to be able to have a 10-minute cup of coffee with me.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to decide for themselves that they're going to feel comfortable picking up the telephone and ringing someone and saying, look, I've met a mutual acquaintance of someone who I respect. This lady, Adrian, has introduced Rick to me. I've met him for coffee, and he'd like to get to meet you. I'd like to put the two of you together.
Mm.
When you're asking someone to do that, I think out of respect, you should at least meet them for coffee.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Now, can I also say that this isn't theoretical. I started my organisational development consultancy practice in 2004 with a zero base. There was nobody that I could leverage mm-hmm. to start building business. And now in 2014, I'm still here. I run a global consultancy practice. In fact, I leave Monday morning again to go to Phuket for a week.
Oh, my goodness.
So I have built from zero.
Yes.
An international global consulting practice from zero base by implementing these types of approaches, because I'm not a salesman. I don't feel comfortable being a salesman. And so I've built my business by referral, recommendation, and introduction.
Yes.
And I've always taken the time to ask for specific referrals and show respect and meet people in the right way, and also respect their time by me doing the work.
Yes.
And I've built my business that way. So this isn't theoretical. This is practical, and it works.
And it works. Fantastic. Well, it sounds such a approach that is doable too. It's not
well. That's exactly complex. It, Adrian. Number one, it's doable. Number two, it's respectful to everyone
yes.
concerned. And number three, you're taking responsibility to maintain control of the next steps so that you aren't a prisoner of hope.
Mm.
And unfortunately, I think especially with referrals and with trying to leverage and reach out laterally with our businesses, a lot of us are prisoners of hope, thinking that, well, you know, maybe something will happen tomorrow.
Mm.
You can't think that way. You can't expect to win gold lotto tomorrow.
Mm.
You have to take the responsibility to put in place the machinations that allow people to become exposed to your professionalism, to your expertise, to how good you are, so that they can make a decision for themselves whether they'd like to work with you.
Yeah. Well, this moves on to the next question of, how can we successfully get the people who we're trying to get in contact with, get their attention and have them understand our offering? So you've really gone through that, I suppose.
Well, there's a few things we can add there. I mean, like number one, if you want to stand out from the crowd and not blend in with the mosaic, then you've got to actually raise the bar and stop doing the limbo.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is you have to set your own standards.
Mm.
You have to get out there, share your intellectual property. No matter what sort of business you're in, no matter for anyone on the line listening to this today or listening to the recording in the future, you have to clearly articulate why anyone should choose you and not your competitor down the road. Mm. So why you? Why should anyone choose you instead of your nearest competitor? Mm. And once you're clear about that, then what you need to do is develop intellectual property that you can share and put out into the marketplace so that when these people become exposed to you, the first thing in this modern era that anyone's going to do is Google you.
Yes.
And so you want to make sure that when someone Googles your name or Googles your company, that you're on the front page, and hopefully that you're number one and someone else hasn't got the number one spot of your name especially,
yes.
But that they are able to get some valuable information that they can read that says to them, wow, this person's good. So I'm not saying quickly race out and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on SEO and all that sort of stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you ensuring that you are searchable on the internet and that when people find you, they can find you easily, but that they immediately can gain access to your smarts without paying for it, that allows them to make some sort of initial assessment as to whether you're worthwhile meeting. And so, for instance, I put the challenge forward to anyone listening. Google my name and tell me that you can't find more than 100 pieces of intellectual property that you can download for free that isn't jam-packed full of value.
Yes.
All right? And that's what you need to do. And people say, well, you can't go giving away everything, then they've got no reason to buy you. Well, that's a load of rot. That's nonsense.
Yes.
The bottom line is that people need to know that you are worthwhile. They need to see that you've got credibility. They need to see that you actually have the expertise that you're promoting. And then they're going to engage you. Over 14 years ago, my wife and I bought a beautiful Queenslander. It's a timber house unique to the Queensland climate and temperature. And they're just beautiful timber buildings. They're just gorgeous architecture. Now, I'm a man who doesn't know the difference between a screwdriver and a hammer. And I decided, well, if I'm going to be a homeowner of one of these beautiful homes instead of all the modern brick ones that I'd had in the past, that I better learn something about being a handyman. And I went down to the hardware store. I bought about half a dozen do-it-yourself handyman books. And I've read them.
Yes.
I've read them all.
Oh, good.
But every time it's come to me to actually do something around the house, I've picked up the phone and rung Mr. Man.
Yes.
So, you know, you can even buy the book that teaches you how to do it, but you then make the judgment call. What's the best use of my time?
Yeah.
And so if people can read your DIY book, read your DIY articles, if you share with them, you know, what they can do to improve their businesses with what you do, they won't do it themselves. They'll call you because they've seen you as the expert. So how do you get attention? Network as much as you can. Write and get published everywhere you possibly can. Speak at associations and trade meetings where your clients are going to be. If you're going to do any sort of advertising at all, advertise in the magazines, the newspapers, the journals that your clients read. Get your articles and press releases published in the media that your clients read. Just continually get the intellectual property out there. Run some seminars. Do what you're doing today, Adrian. Run a live webcast.
Yes.
Interview other people. So do what you can to get your intellectual property out there so that people become exposed to you on a regular basis.
Yes.
And that's how you get attention.
Attention. Yes, I think I was wondering if you were going to introduce social media. But it seems like social media is a supporting the referrals and the outreach rather than the other way around.
Well, that's my personal opinion exactly. I believe that social media is a follower, not a leader. Now, what I mean by that is that it's like television advertising. Let's consider television advertising for a moment. You could spend millions of dollars advertising your product or service. But if the people watching or reading that advertisement don't need it at that specific time, money is wasted. All right?
Yes.
So let me give you an example. You come home, you sit down and you enjoy a great mum's great Sunday roast. You know, mum cooks a beautiful roast with the veggies and everything. The whole family's around the table and you have a fantastic afternoon enjoying mum's roast. And then, you know, you go in the backyard, you play a bit of backyard cricket, and then everyone gathers into the rumpus room, into the media room, and we sit down to watch TV. And on comes an advertisement for Kentucky Fried Chicken or McDonald's or something like that. Now, are any of us going to be inclined, because of that advertisement, to jump in the car and race out and get a burger? No, of course not. We've just filled ourselves up to the neck with mum's beautiful roast. So that has been wasted. It's not going to work. However, if you've just come home from a busy day out shopping, you've had chores to run, you get home and you just haven't had time to even think about dinner, and you're really hungry, then the advertisement may be enough to say, you know what, I can't be bothered cooking tonight. Let's race out and get some takeaway. Mm. That's when the advertising will work. I want people to understand that that's the way social media works.
Right.
If you are using social media to get your intellectual property out in the marketplace, to let people know what you're thinking, to show what your opinion is of a certain topic at the moment,
yes,
it may be the reinforcer for that very small percentage of people that have maybe thought of you in the past and have considered you, but the need hasn't been there, but then they're exposed to you at the exact right time that they're thinking of making a decision, and they go, that's right, Adrian McLean, maybe we should give her a call about going and doing that speaker training.
Mm.
So you cannot expect that the social media is going to generate new business for you of its own. It is a support mechanism for all of the intelligent marketing that you've done that's led the way before it.
Right.
And I'm sorry to anyone who's involved in SEO or anything like that. Don't shoot me and send all complaint letters to Adrian McLean at the speaker's practice.
Well, thank you, Rick. Now, the fifth question is one I ask all our guest speakers. Oh, sorry, better go back. This question I ask all our speakers, and it's, as a business owner, what is your advice about promoting your business by speaking?
I've built my OD consultancy practice on the back of speaking and writing. As I said before, I'm not a salesman, but I can string a few words together. My mother has always said she's not surprised that I've been successful in business as a professional speaker, because as a little boy I was always running around telling people what to do. I don't really know whether that's a compliment or not. But I cannot stress enough the importance of speaking to promote your business. And there's a few very valid reasons why. First one, people process information in one of three ways: visual, auditory, or kinesthetic. And so if you're not speaking, you're missing out on a third of the marketplace who are auditory in their preference for how they process information. So if you're not speaking, you've immediately ostracized 33% of the marketplace. Number two, efficiency. If you're wanting to promote your business, and I'm speaking to Adrian McLean one-on-one over a cup of coffee, that's great. It's very personalized, and we should be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But the extension of that is me speaking with Adrian McLean on Google Hangout, where I'm speaking to Adrian, but there's another 500 people listening in, and potentially thousands more who'll listen to the recording in the future. And so I am able to speak once to you today for 30 odd minutes or so, but I've potentially got thousands of people listening to that message. Mm. That is the most efficacious way to build your business.
Yeah.
The other point is that in speaking, you can gain access to people who you might otherwise never cross paths. And so if let's say your potential market is accountants. I mean, one of the biggest areas where I work in Australia especially is with accountants and lawyers and financial planners. So by me speaking at a conference or a trade show or a seminar or a workshop or a teleconference or a webcast with one of the associations for that demographic, there will be people who I don't know, don't have an email address for, don't have a telephone number for, might never have met them, who are members of that association and decide to come to that conference, come to that seminar or workshop, or listen to that teleconference or webcast. So, you know, I cannot stress that if you as a business owner are not speaking and not and also if you're not speaking well, then you are missing a huge component of the marketplace that could take you from good to great. And I'm sure everyone on the line today are very fine business people and doing well, but I'm sure all of us would like to do that a little bit better. Yes. And I can guarantee you that if you're not speaking in business, then you're missing out on lots of opportunities. Other than that, I don't feel strongly about it.
Well, that's fantastic advice. Thank you, Rick. So we have, you have a program. Would you like to go through your executive wisdom consulting programs that you're promoting at the moment?
Well, we've got a few things. There's obviously the special offer that you've got there up on screen, so you're able to send that to everyone. And one of the things that we do is, my practice is truly a global practice, so I can't be meeting for coffee every single day with people around the world.
No.
But what I have done is I've established a way for people to meet with me every single day through my online forum, which is a members-only forum, where people come together around the world to share ideas, ask questions, get help, and to give support to other members in the forum. So that is one of the ways that we join together on a regular basis, and we've built a global community of successful business people. The membership is a once-only membership. You just pay once only. You're a member for life unless you break the rules, and it's a fabulous way to get involved in a global community of peers and colleagues who know how to run a successful business. We're also running some workshops in the very near future, and Adrian, you'll be able to give all of the listeners on the line the information through you, obviously, because you're able to provide them with some bonuses, thanks to your association with us. But we're running a workshop on marketing a professional practice, so those are coming up in March and April in Brisbane, Sydney and Melbourne.
Yes.
And in April and May, we're also running the writing and speaking workshops, which is not the same speaking that you're teaching people how to be great speakers. I'm teaching people about the using speaking as marketing, and also how to write for case studies, for articles, for promoting their business as well.
Yes.
So this program is actually a complement to what you do at the speaker's practice, in that you're teaching them how to be expert at the craft, and I'm giving them the ways to put the content together in the most professional manner, and then how to market it in a way that produces business for them.
Yeah,
wow. So those are a few things that are coming up, and that writing and speaking workshop is in fact a complement to what you do at the speaker's practice. They gain the skills to be an expert thanks to your expert tutelage, and then they can implement it and put the content and the marketing together through those workshops that we're running.
Oh,
so they're three things that we could mention today.
Well, sounds fantastic. I'm part of your online business forum, and there's so much information and so much support within the forum. It's amazing.
It truly is a collegiate community. There's no status or anything like that. The only status is me, and that I own it, and if you break the rules, I kick you out. But other than that, we're all equals. We check our egos at the door. Everything's entirely confidential. You can only get in by username and password. And the support is enormous. I mean, like, I've actually heard that there's been some of the people, they actually get together. As they travel the world, they let other members know, I'm going to be in your part of town.
Oh.
And they get together and have dinner and coffee and things like that. So it truly is a collegiate society,
yes.
Community of people. And the great thing about it is that no one in there is talking theory. Everyone in there, when someone asks a question, the answers that you get from your colleagues in the forum are from people who've done it. And they say, look, we tried that. Here's what happened to us. Mm. And you can't get better advice than that.
No, no. And it's international. For instance, your offer there,
they're able to get over $1,600 worth of value only through you. No one else has got this offer. Mm. Only through you can they get that $1,600 worth of value for only less than $200 from you.
Oh, thank you. So what's in the members area?
In the premium members area, there are a library of webinars that are not accessible to other people. There's a library of audio podcasts that you can stream or download that are not for public consumption. They're not in my iTunes account and they're not on the open access pages. So they're sort of at a deeper level. Mm. There's also a lot of tools and diagnostics. So for instance, in there is a client assessment tool that I created back in the 80s when I was running my tax practice. And what you do is you put in your client's name or prospect's name, you answer 9 questions and give a rating of 1 to 5, and at the end of it, it will tell you whether that client is an A client, a B client, a C client, or an X.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all talk about client classification. We all talk about, you need to only work with A and B class clients. Well, how do you assess what that is? So mm-hmm. I've created a tool, well, I created it back in the 80s, and I've been enhancing and developing it ever since to where it is today.
Wow.
So they're the sorts of tools that are in there.
Mm.
There's also a lot of premium articles that I don't release into the marketplace. And so these might be articles that I've created for my workshops, for my clients, and I then depersonalize them in that I take names and everything like that out and generalize them a little bit. But they're articles and diagnostics and tools that are at a very deep level to help you build your business and be more successful. So these are very high value that I charge for, but in the premium members area, you've got free access to those.
Fantastic. Well, I hope our listeners take advantage of this because there's so much wonderful information and support there. That's fantastic.
Well, there's a repository in there, in the forum and in the premium members area. Just the repository of all of my articles that I've written over the last decade are in there. I mean, there's more than 500 articles and opinion pieces that are in there. So if you become a member and you can't find an article that's going to help your business, then you're just not looking.
Well, I go in there regularly and I always find information and I'm always amazed about the people that are involved with the forum and the wonderful support they give. It's incredible.
Well, it is. There's a high level of support in this. And a lot of the time, sometimes you don't even know who you're talking to because there's a few people in there who purposely have used Gmail addresses as their email contact because they actually don't want people to know who they are. There's a few people in there who you might be surprised are actually CEOs of Fortune 500 companies. So you're in good company in the forum. I can certainly attest to that.
Yeah.
The other part about the offering that you're able to give Adrian through the speaker's practice as part of this very special deal is two of my books, both of which are still selling, well, the Writing in Business for Success and Profits, the paperback. Mm-hmm. That book is an A4 size book. It's over 340 pages. It weighs a kilo, and it's still selling on Amazon, even after all the discounts that Amazon do. It's still selling on Amazon and selling very well at $75.
Mm.
And the other book that you get as part of your membership is the book that gets released next month by Wiley, which is Professional Services Marketing Wisdom, How to Attract, Influence and Retain Clients, Even If You Hate Selling. So for those of you who aren't natural salespeople, that's the book you need to read.
Wow. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Rick, for that. So we'll be finishing up now. Thanks so much, Rick, for your time and your expertise. I really think that you've covered referrals and how to ask for referrals and outreaching to new potential market so well, and you really sort of made it much more clear and given us methods to use. So I really appreciate your time here today. And thanks for joining us.
You're welcome, Adrian. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Well, have a great fortnight, everyone. And we look forward to seeing you next Friday Forum, which is the 14th of March. And we've got Jeff Anderson speaking on video marketing. Thanks for attending.